Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
6:02 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. Time to jumpstart your day on this Taco Tuesday. Sounds good about right now. Tacos today.
The taco sounds good at 6 a.m.
It's also International Taco Day, according to Joe. So I have to go eat tacos today, right? I mean, you have to. It's like not saying Merry Christmas on December the 25th.
Is it?
You knew.
Yeah, it's just like that, man.
It's cool. Also.
What is it?
Puck drop tonight.
Oh,
that's NHL great. Season opens.
Well, tonight?
Rob, yep.
Rob wasn't going to lead with the headline. I mean, he finishes with that.
Because I know.
Come on now.
Because if he started with hockey, we wouldn't even be able to hear the rest of the story. You just keep talking about it.
Big facts.
I know.
Big facts, man. I mean,
yep.
Got the Blackhawks and the Panthers.
Yep.
Or as Ed would say, the Blackhawks and the Panthers.
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 That's right, Panthers. Got the Penguins and the Rangers. Big, mm-hmm. big rival there.
Yeah.
An avalanche of the Kings.
Yep. They dropped the puck.
Got three games
yeah.
tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, pucks. Yeah.
Actually, the first one starts at 5. Yeah.
5 o'clock. Reigning champs.
What's the first game?
5-8 and
Chicago Panthers. The Blackhawks Panthers. 5 o'clock.
Are the Blackhawks still awful?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah but yes. It's hockey. Who cares?
I know. It's opening night.
The Panthers are really good.
So. Yeah. I like the under in that one.
Yeah. Florida's minus 290.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the puck drops tonight. Big Monday Night Football game last night, huh? That was a good one.
It was.
That was a good one.
We said it'd be good. It was good.
It had the funniest game-winning touchdown in the history of the sport.
It was almost looked tragic. Almost was tragic.
He's tripping over his feet, falling down. You're looking at a lineman. By the way, it's not a great look, but on that play, go watch Chris Jones just stand up and stand at the goal line and do nothing on that play. Just stand up and do nothing. At the end of the game, that's not a good look, man. I know you're playing the whole game. He stands up, he's blocking somebody, and just kind of stands back by the goal line. He watches Trevor Lawrence run out there, doesn't even make an effort to go out and get him.
Wow.
It's awful.
A good baseball game last night, too. Philly's almost pulled that thing out.
Yeah, how about, I blinked and didn't realize what happened in the Seattle game. It was 3-0 Cubs, and I'm like, well, here we go.
Who?
Cubs.
You mean Milwaukee?
No, it's 3-0 Cubs.
You said Seattle game.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
I was like, huh?
Cubs and Brewers. Thank you. Yeah. In that game, and then all of a sudden, here it is. Here's three more runs in the bottom. Screw it. We're just gonna score runs.
You see that Chirinos home run he hit Jackson?
Yeah. I didn't expect him to play.
That was a bomb. That was an absolute missile.
It's absolutely crazy. That ninth inning in the Phillies game, though, like you're watching it and going, is this really gonna happen? Is this really going to happen right now? And the answer was no. No, it wasn't.
No.
But I'm glad Dave Roberts didn't do Dave Roberts like things and go, hey, that's our closer. Because Blake Treinen didn't have it last night. Oh, Get his ass out of there. You bring in the lefty, they pinch hit. You got to stay with him.
But that was a great play by Freddie Freeman in the game. Because that was a run on third. Tyron Robinson on third base. If he doesn't come up with that scoop, it's tag ball game.
And it's easier said than done, but you know, like I don't expect the Phillies to come back from this. I think that's a game-winning or a series-winning play there. Because you go down 2-0, and now you got to go to L.A.?
Yeah. 2-0 in your house?
And then they still got fireworks left. They still got Yamamoto they can go to. It's a tough – baseball is such a tough sport sometimes when you're waiting all season, you're in first place – you get there, you wait that week to play, and then all of a sudden now you're down 0-2. And
it's like, different from Cubs being 0-2, though, and the Yankees, because they're 0-2 going home.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, that's different. You know, That Tigers Mariners series looks evenly matched. That's tonight.
That's at 4-8. Yeah.
Wow.
With today's baseball games, just so everybody knows, and I'll be talking about it in the Daily Line, but wind blowing out significantly at both parks.
Both Yankee Stadium and Tiger?
Yankee Stadium. Tiger Stadium a little bit better.
America.
Yep. So do with that what you will, but it looks like, especially the Tigers game, looks like great hitting weather.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. How was the golf tournament yesterday, Edward?
It was so nice, seriously. The Mount Washington Tavern golf outing benefited the Mount Washington Pediatric Hospital. Well attended. Gorgeous day. We played at Elk Ridge.
Course, you couldn't have a better day.
It couldn't. You could not. It was like 75 degrees and sunny, and course was in amazing shape. Elk Ridge, nice job. You look like you're playing on carpet. It was really, really nice. And I had a great time. I had great people to play with. And the tavern did great. Like, everybody got a prize. Everybody, we all won something. It was just some really nice people. And it was a lot of fun, though. And I forgot how much I love playing golf because, you know, you guys know the deal with the surgeries and stuff. Mm-hmm. I've been playing a while. I played fairly well. I was shocked, but I went and practiced for a couple days last week. So I didn't embarrass myself. So I had a great time. Got to play. And this is the best time of year to play golf anyway. The next 2 months before it gets real cold.
Oh, you like it this?
Yeah, because it's tough being out in the, you know, 90 degree heat all day. And like, he may like it. I'm not a fan.
I'm all right with it.
But now when it starts getting the 60s and, you know,
you get swamp ass real bad.
That's all right. Just scoop that applesauce out.
You get those goofy shorts and golf.
Scoop that applesauce out.
And everybody can see it.
Ugh. Nah. But it was a wonderful day.
That's good, man. That's good. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember ever not having fun. Oh, I do remember not having fun playing golf one day. I think we were at Rocky Point. And who are they called? What are they called? The Marshals?
The Marshal.
The Marshal was just being overly aggressive that day for some reason.
Moving people along?
It was just too much. Like he was moving people along so fast that you started
screwing up your game, probably.
Yes. Yeah. Big time. Like other people were in front of us were like, dude, we're not moving slow. Yeah. And people behind us were like, talk about us. They're not, why are you here? Like, he's like, that Marshal that day was like the bouncer at the bar that causes issues.
Yes.
There are no issues right now.
Yeah.
You're causing issues. That's what he was like. It was just way too much.
Did you ever use one of those cannons on a golf course? They had one yesterday. Same. I never did this before.
The shoot the ball?
Yeah.
I've seen it. I never used it.
It was a charity event. So if you paid, I think it was $20 or whatever, you force them could use it. It was best ball. So you use a cannon. They load the golf ball in this gun.
Yeah.
And you aim it, pull the trigger. It goes like 350. It's ridiculous.
It's best to shoot it straight up.
You got to aim it, though. Yeah. It shoots it straight. The barrel's rifled, so it goes pretty straight. But it goes like further than you're going to hit it. It's it was cool.
I'm glad you said that because this is what I tell people all the time. Like my church wants to throw, it wants me to help them to get a golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about all these people they want to invite. I say, listen, this is the problem. You don't want your friends going to a golf tournament unless your friends are golfers. So I don't understand why. I said, because you don't go to a golf tournament just to play golf. I've never gone to a golf tournament with less than $200 in my pocket.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to spend money.
They're usually charity events.
Yeah, but so if you're using it as a social event for people who aren't golfers and they don't understand, you can't maximize the money potential.
Yeah.
You want to invite golfers, people who know
what to expect.
Yeah, understand the assignment. Yeah. I've never gone to a golf tournament with less than $200 cash in my pocket.
Yeah, you got to have cash.
Because you want you shouldn't go home with that. It's all about the charity. You know, when you play golf anytime, it's all about the charity.
Yeah, different things and different holes, you know, like.
What is this now? Because I've been out of the conversations. You guys are talking golf, different things and different holes?
Saying there was another one where you paid X amount of, a small amount of money, like whatever cash was. And you get to do, I can't remember, but one of them was to hit off like the ladies' tees on a par five.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
and there was a big difference like between the blue tees and ladies tees. It was like there had to be 150 yards in this one hole because it's a long hole, so that's a big advantage.
Also, the putting station you pay for that.
Yes, just
all this thing you pay, or The closest to the, you go to one of the par threes.
And they got a celebrity there or someone that's
the closest to the pin. The
yeah, because we had one where, this actually worked out for us. You gave the pro, I think it was 10 bucks each or whatever. He would hit, if you shot inside his balls on a par three, so he would hit onto the green. If you were inside his, he would double the amount donated. So both me and Josh thought we got inside the, where he hit, closer to the pin. So that means what we gave him was now double to the charity.
Did you ask him if he wanted to join your foursome and you would stay there and hit after you beat him? That's what I would have done. I was like, do you want me to take over here? Because mine got closer. Is that good? High score. What does that mean?
Am I pro now? World is stupid at 7 o'clock. I said pro now. Not pronoun.
Pronoun.
Pro now. But on the other side, how much of the Raven current situation falls at the feet of Eric DaCosta? Baltimore's big bad morning show on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
6:16 in the a.m., Baltimore's big bad morning show on the Fan. So I'm listening to the sports talk radio yesterday, and I'm hearing blame being placed at the feet of Eric DaCosta. Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, Ronnie Stanley, Roquan Smith, Marlon Humphrey, Nate Wiggins, Kyle Hamilton. That's what Eric DaCosta did, and I brought all those guys up because before you tell me about the injuries of this year, they were on the team last year. And the team didn't get out of the divisional round. Versus a team on the other side that didn't have all of that.
Mm-hmm.
The team that lost that they lost to didn't have all of that. That's Eric DaCosta's job, Ed. Mm-hmm. So, no, this is not at the hands of, this is not Eric DaCosta's responsibility. That's what he gave you. Do something with that.
100%. It's so funny because obviously I was out last night, as you know, with the golf outing. All people talking about the Ravens. And they all wanted to talk about it. And people kept asking, for whatever reason, this came up, DaCosta specifically. Yeah. How much blame does he bear for this? I said, none. Like, the guy, he drafted two All-Pros in the same draft. I mean, that's one of the things he's done. He got us Derrick Henry. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Kyle Van Noy.
Right, because Kyle Van Noy, Derrick Henry, you got Kyle Hamilton and Lindebaum in the same draft. I mean, like, what are you talking about?
I thought what Mike did was fair in talking about some of the swings and misses in the second round, but as a whole, complaining about him or killing him, it feels like you have an agenda.
But some of those second round misses weren't his.
I know.
You know what I mean? So you're right, but some of them weren't his. And overall, Jeremy, tell me, other than the Eagles, who won the Super Bowl, who has a roster that even compares to this one?
Nobody.
I'm not even saying who's better.
That's it.
Yeah. Other than the Eagles, who compares to this roster?
Are you saying who has it better than the Ravens?
Nobody.
Thank you. Is that what that? Oh, now I get it. You know what? I just now figured it out because of the draft.
Yeah. I don't get the. It's like we've reached so bad to find someone to blame that, you know, who's next?
Yeah.
DaCosta's next.
It always has to be someone. It's a scapegoat, and it's like, who can we attack next? If it's not his fault, it's got to be theirs. Because we need answers of who's to blame, and then sometimes it's just bad luck. And, again, you got to say that with the injuries, unless you find out they're working out differently and somebody changed something. But I don't think that's the case. You've had so many injuries in such a short period of time. You know, we've talked about teams that have lost 20 players in a season. I don't know that we've had teams that lost this many Pro Bowlers, all pros, you know.
All pros.
It's just like, it's been absurd. But still, even with all that being said, you know that the Ravens are 1-4 on the verge of going 1-5.
Mm-hmm.
They're still favored to win this division.
Thinking about it, I looked at it yesterday after you told me that. They probably will. I believe that. It's just, I'm looking at their schedule compared to like the Steelers' schedule. The Bengals forget.
Well,
it's like they can win the division. Like it, you know, they can win the 10-7, 9-8, whatever. And that's within reach.
And you know, that's because of DaCosta and what he's put together.
Yeah. And you said maybe it's bad luck. Okay, maybe it's bad luck now. But the people I gave you on this roster last year. Let me give you 2023: Lamar Jackson, Gus Edwards, Patrick Ricard, Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews, Ronnie Stanley, Tyler Linderbaum, Kevin Zeitler, Matabike was healthy. Roquan Smith. We had Patrick Queen back then.
Kyle
Hamilton. Marlon Humphrey. What was the problem then? An AFC Championship game at home.
Yeah.
What was the problem then? Was it bad luck? Was that bad luck?
I thought you were arguing with me for a second.
No, I'm not. I'll give you bad luck this year. I'll give you that. Absolutely.
That's the only thing I'm saying is that, but, like, I think this year has more to do with injuries than anything else.
But these guys were together for a couple of years and haven't won yet. So to point the finger at Eric DaCosta to me is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
It's are you kidding me?
I mean, there
aren't better rosters. The guy goes out and gets you what you need midseason in the past. Where you from, homie?
Yeah.
You know, in the middle of the season, he comes in.
See,
and he's a pick six in his first game.
You know, we talk about this all the time. Like, would you trade this quarterback for that quarterback? I don't know that the Ravens would trade their GM for anybody else, and I'd be willing to bet you that there's probably three or four other teams that really love theirs. But he's in that conversation for the best GM in football.
Yeah, he is.
And we're talking about what? That he should be fired?
In the conversation. He was called the best GM by his peers.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is.
I know. I'm just saying. Like, yeah.
Even if you're not, the conversation is not fire him, is casting blame, that's a bad conversation.
Like, it's funny. I can hear people saying, what are you talking about playoffs for the Ravens yesterday, you moron? And then you find out that they're favored to win a division. And I heard somebody use the quote, depth is a great thing until you need to use it.
Yeah.
Then it just means that, here we go. Now that depth is gone, and this is what you have.
Yeah.
So if they can't get
those guys
quick,
are great, they're number twos. Mm-hmm. They're not great as number ones. They're great to come on the field to give the other guys some rest.
It's like a fourth outfielder where you talk about he's left-handed and you only want him to see right-handed pitchers, yeah. Right? No, give him the day off here.
Situational. Perry Hall, Steve. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, good morning. So since the 1970 merger, there's only been four teams that started 1-4 that made the playoffs. Just four. And to you guys, it's a great topic talking about DaCosta, because I got to tell you, if there's anybody that's blaming Eric DaCosta for any of this, it's a joke.
It is.
But a bad joke. This Rams game really becomes huge because at 1-5,
well,
they're probably done. At that point,
I don't think they are done at that point. And also, like, to understand what you're talking about, the merger, you also have to go back and look at when they expanded the playoffs. Adding one more team in makes the world a difference when you think about it.
Hey, Steve, do you have a stat on 1-5 teams making the playoffs?
I don't.
Okay. Just curious if you did. Thanks a lot. And Jeremy, what you said is very important, because since 1970, how many different playoff formats have we gone through? I think it's only fair to say, you know, if there's a 1-4 team since this playoff system that we're in right now.
In this playoff system, and also in four team divisions.
Yeah.
Because I think that makes a lot of difference too. We've talked about bad teams getting in because they won a bad division, right? The Seahawks got in at 7-9 or 7-8-1, whatever it was that year. And they get to host a home playoff game, which means there was a team that had double digit wins that didn't make the playoffs.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. So I guess unanimously, I'm sorry to bore you, but no one thinks Eric DaCosta deserves any blame whatsoever for any of this.
And I'm sure he would take some of the blame for this, too. And what's
because
going
he's
on.
A character.
Yeah. It's like the guy that says, my bad. I'm going to take care of it. You put it on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. But this isn't his cross to bear. Like, he put the talent out there. He's giving you talent. We kept saying at the beginning of the year, what changed from the beginning of the year to now where they had the best roster in football, and now we're going to go, oh, yeah, DaCosta's at fault. He got you the best roster in football. What happened? Injuries, poor play, whatever you want to call it.
Word of stupid at 7 o'clock with Jeremy Kahn, but on the other side, are you buying John Harbaugh's assertion that the team is, quote-unquote, very accountable when it comes to recognizing their mistakes? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Some have questioned the accountability of John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens after 1-4 start. 44-10 loss to the Houston Texans at home, no doubt. First time the Texans have actually won at M&T Bank Stadium. This is what Harbaugh had to say about the accusations.
This is a very accountable team. I know I've said it to you guys before, but this is a very serious-minded, determined team, and they take accountability, you know, and they take it hard. And they don't make excuses. They don't sit up there and point fingers. They're not going to be, you know, the heck with this. You know, it doesn't matter. It matters, and I know how much they care because I see how hard they play. I also see how hard they work during the week, you know. So we do talk about that. It's not what you say; it's what you do, you know. And they're working hard, and they take responsibility for their mistakes, just like the coaches do. The coaches are the first ones to say, you know, I've got to do better. I've got to find a way. So that's what I like about our team. That's why I think that we have what it takes to pull ourselves through all this, you know.
Jeremy Kahn.
When I hear what he's saying there,
he says it's not what you say, it's what you do.
Yeah. Is saying over and over again that we're not going to make excuses, is that making an excuse? Like, is that, you're not telling people why it's going on because people, okay, let's take it this way. What are you going to do to fix it? Well, that's an interesting question, but it just goes back to what we get this all the time. And again, I don't know what people expect and what you want to hear. I'm one of those guys like to hear a little bit of honesty in it. And I've heard this every time something goes wrong in Baltimore with this football team. I've heard this same stuff. Oh, they care. They work hard. They're not going to make excuses. Yeah, you know, nobody wants to say it's injury. Like, what is that?
That's what you got to say.
What
would you like to hear?
I'd like to hear some accountability on who, like,
like
again,
what, my defensive coordinator sucks.
That's fine.
He's not going to say that.
Well, he threw his offensive coordinator under the bus last week. Why wouldn't he throw his defensive coordinator under the bus?
Because he said, Munkin has a track record here.
Yeah. Munkin has a track record, period.
Period. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I'm the one that took the gamble on the defensive coordinator, probably to a lot of people pushback. But because I'm John Harbaugh and I've been here for a while and I've earned the right to hire my guy, he's my guy.
Yeah.
He can't talk trash about that guy.
He's
got to protect him.
And I know we're going to play more of these quotes, but like some of the things from yesterday's press conference I listened to and I'm going, what does that even mean? You know, like, I mean, you look back at how things have I can look at it and say injuries are a huge reason why things have gone awry. Huge. It's a big part of it. It's not all of it. Because what happened at the beginning of the year last year? Like Harbaugh even said they called Dean Pease. He's going to come back and fix it. Watch that some bitch come back here. And then I'm going to have to go, see, y'all don't want to give Zach Ordy credit again. Just because Dean Pease came back and the defense started playing well. You
twice.
Think it's because of him?
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's see him do it a third time.
You know, let me ask you this, though. If you got to keep calling someone for the man, maybe he's not the man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they know that by now. And I love Zach Orr, and I don't think this is solely his fault. But when you look at these past two seasons, you go, there's so much talent. What's going on? Because I just watched the cat that's coaching Seattle right now take less than players and put up a great defense.
I love my daughter, Brianna. I don't want her to be the defensive coordinator of the Ravens.
Yeah.
I don't care about you loving Zach Orr. Mm-hmm. He's not good.
Did I say I love him?
He's not. Yes, you did. He's not good. I'm not saying he's a bad person. He may be a great guy. I don't know him. This has nothing to do with me. Like, you're not good at your job. Get somebody else. This is the National Football League. John Harbaugh even admitted how much he relies on Pease and Pagano.
Yeah, immensely. I mean, you know, I would say that's true for all the coaches, you know, and Chuck, as much as all the coaches, and also different because Chuck's got all that experience, you know, like you said. Chuck is... He's been there every day. You know, he's into me. He's a big part of how the defense is built already. And, you know, Chuck is involved. He's on the phones. He's making suggestions, you know, on the phones all the time. It's great conversation with the whole staff. And Chuck is a great coach, and he's a huge part of it. And he and Zach are talking all the time. And, you know, he's right in there. That's one of the reasons I'm so confident, you know, because Chuck's there. And we talked to Dean, too, just so you know. I mean, had a conversation with Dean and, you know, today, you know, and Zach has a conversation in the staff, you know, so, you know, he's watching, he cares, you know, so he's part of what we're doing. We've got people that, that we lean on for sure. You know, it's not like we just, if you got people, if you got people that you lean on that know the defense, that are part of this structure, that you want to get their view of it, you know, we definitely do that.
So Zach Orr talks a lot to Pagano, and he talks now even to Dean Pease. Does Todd Monken talk to Willie Taggart as much?
does
he talk to George Godsey as much, you think? Do you think? Do you think he talks to Greg Lewis as much, the wide receivers coach? You think these conversations are being had all the time with T. Martin? Probably not. Probably not.
What?
I can imagine Todd Monken, after those guys talk, he would say, Peggy, appreciate it. Thank you. I got this. We're good. I got it, guys. We're good. I would venture to say those guys probably don't go to Todd Monken with as many suggestions. You know why? Because they got this. So if you're going to the defensive coordinator with so many freaking suggestions, then maybe he needs to get a clue on new DC. That's simple.
I mean, I think no matter.
When's the last time we had a conversation that long about who's suggesting things to the offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Well,
how many coordinators throughout the years have we had here that have to make calls to old coordinators or people they work with before to just go ahead and say, hey, I don't know what's going on. Well, maybe you're part of the problem. Again, where's the accountability here?
You just start naming names, man. Like Jeremy Kahn once told somebody, or told me about somebody else, Rob, watch your step. Why? That dude just dropped a lot of names. Let's go to Justin in Kingsville. What's up, Justin?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing well. How are you?
So I'm good. I was at that game Sunday, and, you know, from the start, our defensive backs were lined up 10 yards off the ball. I mean, we didn't want to get in that game. We didn't want to play that game. We had no inspiration to be out there on the field. Right, and I think that goes back to the credibility and the accountability that Harbaugh talked about. We don't have it this year, right? I'd love to see this team turn it around, but from the start of that game, we played uninspired in football. So, you know, I hope to see some changes in the near future. Lifelong Ravens fan, and you know, I'm looking forward to what we can become. So we think we're gonna have to look past this season and you know, look to the future.
Thanks a lot, Justin. Appreciate it.
I saw somebody post, they listed all these players, like, trade them away and build for the future. That's not what happens in football, guys. This isn't baseball.
Yeah.
Stop it. You're not trading away every expiring contract you have to go get draft picks and reload. You had injuries. You may have lost your best defensive tackle.
Who are you trading here? It's like, yeah.
Well, no, there's a lot of talented players with contracts that are expiring that people would want. But, like, again, this in football, it's so difficult with a salary cap. And people are like, well, yeah, just trade for him. You know, in baseball, when you're out of it and you're like, that guy's contract's expiring, that one's expiring, we want to trade all of them.
Yes.
Yeah. Because the Orioles did everything they should have done at the trade deadline this year, with all things considered.
Ravens last year started off by giving up 27 points to the Chiefs, 26 points to the Raiders, 25 points to the Cowboys, 10 points to the Bills, and a season high at that time, 38 points to the Bengals. That's what they gave up on defense. So is the Ravens defense now in a better position than they were last year? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Someone said yesterday they don't remember the Ravens defense ever being this bad. I'm not an expert on the Baltimore Ravens in the first two seasons. I remember watching them, but I wasn't fully invested in them at that point. It was like 1998, 90. Well, Yeah, 98, 99, when I became a little bit more.
When did you come back to Baltimore?
Invested. The end of 2000. No, so it took a couple of years for me to fully dive into what this team, this organization was doing. But many people believe this is the worst defense they ever had. You said yesterday they gave up more points already than they did the entire 2000 season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
This is more about the Ravens defense right here.
Yeah, that's a really interesting and good point. And I do feel that way. You know, I feel confident a little bit because of that, and also because I feel like we're in a better place than we were last year. Last year, there were some real challenges, you know, and we were able to get those things turned around and fixed. And I talk about the defensive staff and Zach, you know, that was impressive. And I feel like these things that you're seeing right now are more fixable even. So after, you know, watching it, like, it's still frustrating. And, you know, you put five or six, you know, rookies out there and at one time, and this happens or that happens. But a lot of times, like, that happens in defensive football. A lot of times plays get made to overcome that, and it doesn't really affect you. So it's not, nothing's really perfect, but we've been forced to be a little bit perfect. So we've got to get veterans back on the field. We got to find a way to create plays, manufacture pressure, get some tip balls. Get some balls batted, you know, step in front of some passes and get some picks, put pressure on the offense more than we have. And that's what we've got to be going for with the players that we put out there and then the schemes that we come up with. It goes back to this player and scheme conversation. It both goes hand in hand that way.
Five rookies out there, Jeremy. You didn't have that in Buffalo. You gave up 41. You didn't have that at home against Detroit. You gave up 38. You can give me that five rookie stuff all you want. This was happening before you were putting five rookies out there.
They're not making excuses, at least. Yeah, look, going back to this game here, and the last caller we had talked about that they looked lifeless. I'm watching that first drive going, what are they doing? Like, what was the game plan going in? Was it just to do what you did the week before and got my fingers crossed that it works out this time? Because that's what it felt like. What differences did you see from week four to week five? I just don't know what the whole... And again, if you don't have as much talent, I understand that, but you got to create some sort of pressure. You can't just keep throwing the same guys out there and going, well, this is what we got. Let's see if they stop them this time.
Yeah.
What scheme? What is the scheme? What are we doing? So is the scheme to stay 7 to 10 yards off of the receiver all the time? Is that what it is? Is it to not wrap up and tackle? I don't know, man.
It's not just entertaining right now. Not at all. Let's go to Trippy in Baltimore. What's up, Trippy?
Hello.
Hey, man. I thought I was on the phone talking to John Harbaugh, but I wanted to say, man, shut up. I'm tired of you keep saying the same thing over and over. Like, you say the same thing. He say the same thing over and over. Then, like, let's listen to him, right? Now, fellas, you know, back in the day, you know, we had a little girlfriend. She might tell us, like, hey, you know what? I'm not feeling you no more. You know what I mean? You try to hold it up, but you try to talk to your fellas and stuff. And you sound a little down. That man sound like he losing a lot, bro. I'm going to keep saying it, man. And I feel sorry for Orr, right? Because we know what the Ravens going to do. They're going to fire Orr the bye week, and they're going to keep John Harbaugh. And if the Ravens do that, they a joke. And another thing, hey, what's up, Ed?
What's going on, man?
Y'all Ravens fans, man, stop blaming EDC for everything. His job, now, don't get me wrong, he might have messed up the last 2 years in the trenches, right? But he can get it right. I remember when Ozzie was the GM. We couldn't even draft a goddamn good wide receiver. I remember one year he drafted about five wide receivers in the NFL draft, and none of them made the team. Hello? So just give my man Edie a little bit of slack, right? I keep telling y'all, baby EDC want his own head coach. So listen, Sasha Brown, EDC, go talk to Steve, man. Rob.
Yes, sir.
I didn't even know Steve was down the street from my house. I should have went down there and go hollering at him yesterday. You know what I mean? But
oh, yeah, they were opening that Boys and Girls Club or YMCA. Yeah, which one? It was one of the two.
I would have go hollering at him, though. But, hey, man, y'all have a great day. Hey, Raven fans, don't let up on them booze Sunday, man. Hey, if that all give up 50 points, I don't even know. I'm going to the Commanders and Seahawks game. I got to go see Mike. I got to go talk to Mike, man. I miss Mike. Talk to y'all, man. I miss you.
All right. He's going How many points did the Seahawks give up on Sunday? Joe?
38.
Yeah. Drop 38.
Ball washing this dude. They're not that great.
Seattle's defense has been good. They were bad this week.
But they faced Baker.
Also, They were also, they had five rookies in the second. What do you want? No, I'm kidding. They did have some injuries on the defensive side.
East Baltimore, Larry. What's up, Larry?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Well, how are you, man?
Everybody talking and talking. It's the Raiders' fault from the beginning of training camp. They didn't address their lines. That's the whole bottom line. It's not that bad. They all right with you. You must address the offensive and defensive line. That's the whole key. Everything started up front. I'm not surprised what they're going through. I knew this was not really this bad, but they didn't address their lines. Y'all have a nice day.
You too, man.
Trenches. They addressed the trenches. Neither one of them. I think we all said that. I didn't think it'd be this bad.
Hey, look, when you're facing the Chiefs and you got four practice squad players potentially being in your rotation on your defensive line, I get it.
That was just on the line.
I get why things are going wrong. Yeah. They're going to get a little healthier going into this week.
What happened against the Texans, though?
Huh? Well, that's my point. Like, I'm going to give you the – Travis Jones was back. You had tapes. There was a couple of guys back.
Right.
And it's not even – like, this is one of the worst teams I've seen in Baltimore at stopping the run. I'm not accustomed to seeing guys get 6, 7, 8 yards on first down.
No. I didn't go ape crap after the Chiefs loss. I didn't. Yeah. I thought it was a bad loss, but I wasn't freaked out.
And then
I'm freaked out over this one.
And then the afterwards, like Harbaugh to say, that's a good offense. No, they're not. They're a terrible offense. They're one of the worst offenses in all of football.
We was questioning C.J. Stroud going into this game.
I just told you, C.J. Stroud's last 15 games were worse than Anthony Richardson's first 15.
Didn't look that way on Sunday.
No.
Didn't look that way.
Because it's pitch and catch. What, like, go look at all the different receivers he threw to. It's like, who's that guy? And he got open. Noel got his first touchdown, starts dancing. And by the way, he did get that ball back.
He did.
Yeah, he got that ball.
Shiloh in West Baltimore. What's up, Shiloh?
Good morning, fellas. Good morning.
Good morning.
Trying to put my thoughts together. Hey, Rob.
Yes, sir.
I asked you this 2 weeks ago, right?
Uh-huh.
How long are we going to keep him around, Rob? Is this a Steven Shiloh style thing where he just got to be loyal to something that's not working? My whole thing is, well, it's not hard to figure out. It's not working, man. Hey, it's not a genie gonna come out no ball no time soon, because at the end of the day, let's do the math, man. 2012, 2025, a 13-year span, man. I mean, at the end of the day, like Trippy said, and I will agree with him, man, you get tired of hearing the same thing over and over and over and over, man. I think that we deserve more, man. Like, at the end of the day, he's running out things to say, man. And like the guy said before me, it starts with the front. The defensive line, offensive, I don't have trust in the offensive line. At the end of the day, I ain't going to lie to you, man. Hey, Rob, I'm going to tell you like this. Now, we said something about the Houston game. I don't even think we got a chance to beat the Rams, man. At the end of the day, it looks like, and I'm going to be honest with you, it's going downhill, and a lot of waste of talent is going to be wasted this year. And I'm going to say this real fast. Like, look, Rob, let me ask you a question, Rob.
Right.
Now, we don't have a pass rush, right? I don't know why Jabo's still on this team. I don't know what Owe going to give you. But let me ask you a question. Are you putting all your assets in Van Noy? I mean, yeah, he gave you a good year here. But, Rob, that's not – and let me ask you a question real fast. Look, why are they picking up guys because of their name? Let me ask y'all one question real fast.
Go ahead. One question. Go ahead.
What is John A. Alexander bringing to this team right now?
Right, nothing.
After
nothing.
Five games?
Nothing. But we
nothing. Hold up. Before you hang up. What did he show you? I'm saying – Well, I kept saying it over and over, and I said, the guy can't practice. He can't get on the field. But when Harbaugh got there and said, oh, we knew, we took a chance. How do you going to get on there and say y'all knew? That's the dumbest thing to say. They're still giving, what, $4 or $5 million? That's wasted money.
Hey, Shiloh, we got to run. Have a good day, my man. Thanks a lot for the call.
How many times did he ask you a question real quick? I thought maybe you were going to get a second bell out. Ding, ding, ding.
College football, we can react to the current top 25. We're going to do that at 7:30, but on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
Oh, Ed's going to love today. We talk about a couple of different things. We're going to go inside Howard Rubin's perverted New York City penthouse with a built-in sex dungeon, Ed. I'll tell you what he had on display. Look,
I'll be the judge of this.
Why is it perverted?
I'll tell you when we get to the story. You understand
why. This is
his
dungeon.
Also, a man that purchased a Tesla that can't be charged. I'll tell you that story. And then lastly, Florida firefighter threw 100 what on an ex-boyfriend's lawn? I'll tell you what that is. If you missed that story, it's all coming up next in the World of Stupid.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle,
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.